I'm Ken Hemmings, and he is Chris Lang, and welcome to another of these regular property briefings. Again, a warm welcome to you, Chris.
Well, thank you, and I'm glad to be here.
I noticed there's been a number of articles appearing in the daily papers over the past month or so, talking about the state of the office markets within the various capital cities around Australia. I wonder if we might explore that a little during this podcast.
Yeah, you're right. There has been a fair amount of coverage, and that generally happens in July, August, after the end of the, if not financial year, certainly half year, when a number of the agents and others do a report. I mean, you've got the most definitive one is probably the Property Council of Australia, which gives its report. It's generally Australia-wide, covering the major capital cities and some of the main suburban markets. And you'll find they represent a rather comprehensive summary of what's been happening in the previous 6 months. And they also include some graphs and charts to help make everything a lot clearer. Anyway, both Jones Lang LaSalle and the Property Council have confirmed that there's quite a dramatic difference between the various capital city office markets, mainly due to supply and demand factors and caused by local economic differences. And as a result, you're seeing a major divergence in performance between the various states and also between some of the CBD and non-CBD office markets for each capital city.
So from what you're saying, it's currently a fairly mixed situation between the various markets around Australia. Perhaps you could talk first about those markets which are looking the most positive.
Well, according to Jones Lang LaSalle, the net absorption for the 12-month period to the end of June this year was an above-trend figure of over 290,000 square metres, and that reflected an Australia-wide vacancy rate of 11% for the office markets. However, what you're seeing is Sydney and Melbourne as the two standouts. The CBD office towers in Sydney are finally filling, such that the vacancy rate has fallen to around 5.6%, with the tenants starting to now compete for space. And likewise, the Melbourne vacancy rate now sits at 7%. So overall, the Sydney and Melbourne markets account for pretty close to 90% of the total CBD net absorption of office space during the last financial year. So you can see the disparity between the various capital cities, and that's probably likely to continue for a while.
What about those capital cities not faring so well?
Well, that, unfortunately, is the opposite of what's occurring in Perth, where the office towers are actually empty to the point where the current vacancy rate is 21.8%, which is probably the worst for about 20 years. And the problem is that Perth faces the dual issues of a collapse in demand in the face of several new office towers which is still due to be finished. And Brisbane, the demand has been surprisingly strong, although its vacancy rate still currently sits at around 17%, with a similar challenge of that being there's a lot of new space nearing completion, which is still yet to come on stream. And it's much the same in Adelaide, where the vacancy rate is currently at 15.9%, while Canberra's vacancy rate stands at just over 13%. Now, I seem to recall there was a very helpful chart put out by the Property Council of Australia depicting the various vacancy rates around Australia, and that included a number of the fringe suburban office areas as well as the respective capital city office markets. So if you like, Ken, what I'll do is I'll dig that out for you to include that as part of this podcast, and hopefully that'll make things a lot clearer. So it's a situation where there has been this oversupply in those mining cities, and that's causing the dilemma that they've now got.
And how has all this been affecting rental levels?
Well, as you can appreciate, rental levels generally tend to respond adversely to climbing vacancy rates. And again, according to Jones Lang LaSalle, the Sydney prime gross rents rose 12.2% during the last financial year. There was a smaller increase of only 2.6% recorded for Melbourne. In Canberra, rents went up about 2.5%, Adelaide 1.4%, whereas Brisbane rents actually fell by 2.1% and Perth rents fell by a massive 13.7%. And as you can appreciate, this is really the carryover from the mining boom when both Perth and Brisbane got carried away and believed it would go on forever. And there was a lot of speculative development. And, you know, the sad thing is, with a major office building, you've probably got at least two, probably four levels of basement car parking. Then you've got the ground level. And once, if you get to, say, level two or three of a 40, 50-storey building and the market changes, you can't just stop. You're committed. I mean, your building contracts are let. You've got to build the building. So even though the market has collapsed and therefore demand has effectively disappeared, you still have these new buildings coming onto the scene, and that's what's causing the problem in both Perth and Brisbane.
Overall, then, it all looks rather patchy. Has this always been the case among the various CBD office markets?
Yeah, the current market does seem to be all over the place as far as capital city offices, and that certainly wasn't the case through most of last century when all capital city CBD office markets tended to move in sync. And I probably explained that in an earlier podcast that back then the CBD office markets traditionally moved in an 18-year cycle from peak to peak. But what we found was that the global financial crisis seemed to change all that. And as I started to say in answer to the last question, that was principally due to the mining boom in Western Australia and Queensland, which caused a frenetic overbuild of office space in Perth and Brisbane, where the vacancy rates during the peak of the boom had fallen to 1.5% to 2%. Now, with that pent-up level of demand, developers embarked on a crazy construction phase and paid scant regard to the fragile factors that was actually underpinning their office market. And when the mining boom came to a halt, all of these part-completed office buildings suddenly had no tenants waiting to occupy them. Whereas in Melbourne and in Sydney, there had been development to progressively meet demand through the Darling Harbour and Docklands precincts, which are close to the CBD. And this allowed developers to build, but with solid pre-commitments, and thereby never really moving too far ahead of the market. Now, you know, clearly Sydney suffered more than Melbourne from the global financial crisis due to its significant numbers of major financial institution head offices. However, that has quickly righted itself, and both Sydney and Melbourne office markets are now really the shining lights around Australia.
At what vacancy level is a particular office market considered to be balanced?
Well, with such a large spread between the highest and lowest vacancy rates around Australia, it's probably difficult to grasp all that means going forward. However, as a rule of thumb, the CBD office markets are said to be in balance when they have a vacancy rate of somewhere between 6 to 8%. And it's a bit like unemployment. Generally, economists say that we have full employment when the unemployment level is at around 5%, because anything less than that is putting pressure on wages and therefore inflation. And so likewise, you need a vacancy rate with offices of somewhere between 6 to 8%, so that those who legitimately need to upsize or downsize can do so and have a reasonable selection to choose from. So, as you can appreciate, tenants had very little choice in Brisbane and Perth when the vacancy rates fell to 1.5%, 2%, which meant that the tenants needing to move were forced to bid up the price to get the space that they wanted. And that caused developers to become rather overexcited, almost reckless in the way they entered into massive construction phase. And currently, you know, in both capital cities, there's a big overbuild. So if you look at Sydney and Melbourne markets, you could argue that Sydney might be becoming a little overheated at the moment, and you need to keep an eye on things there if you're planning to invest in the Sydney market, whereas the Melbourne market is currently in balance. And, you know, it's easy to be seduced by a strongly growing market. But if you are a relatively conservative and passive investor, you should be looking for solid, predictable growth. And, you know, it's fair to say that Melbourne has never reached the heady heights of Brisbane and Perth, but then nor does it plumb the depths of despair which they currently find themselves in. So, you know, it's something you need to look at and keep tabs on. As I said, what I'll do is I'll include that chart, which will give you a pretty fair idea graphically as to the disparity that exists right across the office markets in Australia. So depending where you are, you can make a judgment as to when and where you should be investing your funds. So it's not rocket science, but it's something that you ought to keep an eye on. It's pretty well reported at the end of each six-month period in the Fin review, but then a number of the agents put out quarterly reports on the CBD office markets, and you ought perhaps subscribe to those. So in summary, if the market that you are looking at is way above that 6 to 8% range, you've got to look at it and realize that if you're investing in that market, it's going to take a long time before you actually reach the bottom of the market. On the other side, if it's already at or getting below the lower end of that 6 to 8% range, you've got to seriously consider that you may well have missed the boat. And the upswing has already occurred in that particular market, and you're getting in almost too late. So you'd want to be either at the top end of the 6 to 8% range, or ideally slightly above it, maybe at the sort of 9 to 10% vacancy, because you can see positive movement in the market, but it's still got a bit of a way to go.
Up until today, I must admit that I had no real handle on how to properly judge the current condition of an office market. So what you explained here has certainly helped my understanding, and I suspect our listeners as well.
Yeah, you're right. This is not something that is easy to understand or monitor. However, I suggest the best way to keep tabs on it would be to subscribe to the various quarterly reports put out by the major commercial agencies, because they will generally keep you up to date with the key markets around Australia.
Well, once again, I'd just like to thank you, Chris, for walking us through this. And I look forward to catching up with you next time.
Yeah, me too. And I'll see you then.